Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Lindsay.
And this is the Hideaway Podcast, episode 5.
Cinco. How do you know today's guest, Salam?
I know Salam because he was my coach at Circus Mercus in 2007.
What is Circus Mercus?
Circus Mercus is a amazing youth circus organization based in Greensboro, Vermont. They have 3 programs, a school residency program, a summer camp, and a big top tour, which takes about 20 kids around New England and New York under a big top, and Salam was coaching there.
What did he coach you in?
He taught me straps and Korean plank, but he could teach anything. He was teaching acrobatics, general life skills.
Yeah, I think I'm in awe of the whole interview. I don't even know what to say because his story is so interesting and incredible, and a story that obviously you and I have never experienced.
Yeah, just to tease it a little bit, Salam grew up in Morocco, never went to school of any kind, basically left his home when he was an early teenager to join a circus in Spain, which took him around Europe and eventually to the Americas. And it's just a crazy, interesting story that, you know, I've never heard anything like it, and I think a lot of people, even if you're not in the circus, will find it incredibly compelling.
Yeah, I agree.
But before we let you listen to Salam's interview, please go on Facebook, like us, share the podcast with your friends. You can tweet us, you can follow us on Instagram.
Rate us on iTunes.
Apparently that's important.
I don't know. We're just doing a podcast.
Lindsay and I are going to start asking our guests maybe one or two of the same questions at the end of each interview. If you guys have any recommendations for questions to ask, that would be awesome. We've gotten a bunch of great guest suggestions and topic suggestions, which we are 100% going to use. So we love those. Please keep sending them. Your feedback is really, really welcome and appreciated. All right.
On with the show.
Here we go. Enjoy the interview with Salam Awabi.
Tangier, Morocco used to be international. If you're coming from Casablanca to Tangier, you need a passport to go to Tangier. It used to be a world trade city. As we say, the performers, the circus from Persia, from Sri Lanka, all the areas from Iraq, and then went to India. India, that's why there is so much of performance of snakes and all magicians, all different kind of ways. And then from there, the travelers, entertaining travelers, go to North Africa, which is Morocco. Now from Morocco to Europe. And that's how the entertaining world, they used to stop in Tangier to relax, to get food, entertain people. And there was a time I was probably six, seven years old. I went to Casbah. There was a festival for 2 weeks, 24 hours, day and night for 2 weeks. No cars. The car has to stay home. You park your car. That's 2 weeks in the summer festival. And my brother took me in his shoulders and he said, oh, we're going to go see a festival. I seen them, trapeze, contortion, hand balancing, sword swallow. And I seen the freaks. We say the freaks. The guy, the boiling water, drink boiling water, a knife and start to cut his head. And then the next day, there is no blood, there is no cut. I don't know if it's fake or, I mean, you can see everything just, psh, psh, it's crazy.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. I seen some guys eating cactus with the...
Oh, cactus?
Yeah, cactus. Eating them as with everything on them. Stuff I experienced.
You so were 16?
I was six.
Six? Six. Seven. You were six?
Yes.
You saw all that? Wow. That's an impression.
Since then, I seen what I want to do. By 9 years old, I skipped school. I didn't like school. I have to make some kind of problems, you know, to go to school. I never went to school in my life, never. From 6 to 7, I was just on the beach in the sand. Throwing myself. But there were friends of my brother, old guys. They only come on Saturdays. And they go right in the corner, big walls with the marina, the wind. There is no wind. And when you tumble, you know how tumbling outside this windy affect you a lot. And one day I said to my brother, can we go over there? Because I can see tumbling far away from my dad's house in the window. He said, oh, that's too far. I said, please, let's take me. And then we went, and these guys, they know my brother, and they're starting to take me to 3 High. They were so happy to find some small little crazy little one just pick me up. By 9 years old, I started to travel a little bit far away. My first job was mechanic.
Mechanic?
Yeah, 9 years old.
At 9?
Yeah.
Were you doing working on cars? What were you working on?
Take the tires and put the brakes and something that I was inspired to do. So it was football, tumbling. Tumbling, if I don't tumble, I'm hungry. I need to tumble. They never used to give me a day off. I have 1 hour break for lunch. I have to find a grass to go and to do my prayer. This is my prayer. This is what I want to do. Sometimes I'm late, sometimes I'm not. I had some kind of problem between me and this guy. Fight with this guy, my age, he was better than me in mechanic. I said, stop this, I'm going to fight with this guy over a wrench, a little wrench. You took this, that's mine, I have to work with. So I fight him with the boss. He said, you suck. He said, oh, thank you, God.
And that was it.
Thank you for firing.
Always making, if I don't get what I want. And my older brother, he was very hard on me.
How much older is your older brother?
Oh, man. He must be 69 years old. I'm 50 in August.
So he's almost 20 years older than you.
Thank you. Pardon?
He's almost 20 years older than you.
Yeah.
Were you the youngest?
Oh, I'm the seventh.
You're the seventh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I have 3 brothers older than me, 3 sisters older than me, and I have 3 sisters younger than me. As a little boy, I know what's going on in the streets. So I'm starting to work for myself. I need the time to practice. So there is a lot in the Casbah. There were a lot Spanish, French, Jewish, all different cultures. So I know there were some ladies and men that were older to go on shopping, a lot of heavy shopping. I used to do that for a living. I used to help them and they give me tips. So I get up 6 o'clock in the morning, I go and I sell plastic bags. They can put out groceries. I say, can I take this for your home? And they're starting to trust me. I used to work for myself. I didn't like any, if I knew a nice boss, I would work for them. If they were not nice to the kids, I am not working for you.
That's a good way to build your muscle too, carrying all the groceries.
Exactly. By 10 o'clock, I'm done. I earned my living. I go to the beach. So by 9 years old, I was already very, very good. Then I bought, you see the tires inside the tube, mm-hmm. When you blow them, they go bigger.
Yeah.
I saved them and I get one of those. And I went on the beach and I made a big hole. And then that tube doesn't move.
I need a trampoline.
Exactly.
Oh. Oh my God. I was like, what is he making?
So I put that tube and then I started to do side somersault, front somersault, back somersault. And I didn't know the place. There is a place in, where the king lives, Moroccan king, and there is a gymnastic place. So how can I get in inside? So I have some friends from a village. I said to them, you know, how it's like, is any security? They said, oh, there is security in problem. So I went with them and stayed outside just to have a look. He's 10 years old. I said, okay, give me, next time I said, can I have some of your books, one or two? I go to school too. So basically, security, when he see the books in your hand,
he let you right through.
Yeah. So I used to go, here's your books. I go straight in gymnastic with the gym.
Just toss
Man, at 10 time. Years old, you're very clever.
So they have what they call bar fix.
Parallel bars?
Parallel, yeah. And the bar here, the rings, it's all, everything there. So I started to experiment this one and that one, the rings, everything. The coach, then he came over, he's weeks and weeks and weeks get away, no problems. And then one day he said, he saw me tumbling. He said, do you study here? I said, no. He said, what are you doing here? He said, there is nowhere I can practice and I love what I do. He said, and I came here. He said, how did you come here? And I explained to him. I told him exactly. He said, He gave me the date when he's here, when he's working as a coach. He said, come over and practice anytime. So I was choose that day, some young practice. By 11 years old, 12 years old, I used to walk probably 5 miles, go to the beach with the masters. When you're not a master, you don't go to that place. When you're very good, you don't go to that place. I would say, no, you're too young. So I was testing myself to go to that place, how good I am with this rest of the guys. There were two girls from Morocco. They were very good. For me to see two girls with a lot of men in a Muslim country, I said, what the hell is going on here? They respect them. They were looking after them. I said, okay, well, let's see. I'm going to see myself how good I am. So I was starting to warm up, and then everybody was looking at me. What's this guy? This is a new guy. Hey, kid, where are you? They said, where are you from? I said, I live in Casbah. If you're in Casbah, you're a badass. It's an old, probably 4,000 or 5,000 years old. That's where gangsters live. These gangsters, they protect the neighborhood. So they were starting to warm up and starting tumbling. So these guys, you know, they respect what I do. They knew some mistakes I'm doing. And so they were teaching me. But for me, it was, I have to see you there every day to give you full information. Not 1 week and then, I don't want to practice. I'm not here today. No, they have to see you there every day to practice. You're willing to learn. And that's one that to pass the knowledge to the others. By 13 years old, I wasn't afraid. I know when I'm outside, though, I know where I am, who's beside me, what's this here, became like an art upside down for me.
Was your mother worried?
Always. I can tell you, my mom and dad, they never seen me tumble. They never seen me before me. When I was finished the season, going home and then take my mom and dad to, in the beach for a week, a tent, and just camping. And one day, my dad was sitting in the sun and starting tumbling. And my dad was just shaking his head. See his son going up in the air, down, up, and down. he was very proud. He won't say, I love you. He said it once. But deep inside, I'm his friend as a son. Mm. We go out together, hug each other. And so 13 years old, I was 13. There was a circus called Circus Russo. He was well-known in Spain, and the rest of Europe. You have tigers, lions. You have an accident with the lion. He took all his ribs. a long time ago when he was younger, and he walked like that. He had to turn, the whole body turn, and he goes like that, still working. When I was 13, I worked with him in Morocco, Tangier, Casablanca, Rabat, Agadir, and big places. And he was putting me with everything. Then I used to do sort of like a clowny version, not clowny, a horse running around. I grab the tail and then tumble, grab the tail and pull and then side somersault, go on the top and backflip, back somersault. And
off of a horse?
Yeah.
How old were you?
13.
So you joined this Spanish circus at 13.
Yeah.
Touring around, tumbling off of a horse.
Yeah.
And onto a horse. Wow.
I was with the troupe then. I was with the troupe, and the boss, he wanted something. He saw me tumbling, like...
Was it the troupe from the beach that you were with?
Well, somebody come over and see the talent. He took about 6 guys older than me, and I was younger, about 13. And this guy, he wanted, my mom says, you know, I'm going to look after him. He's going to work in circus. My mom, she never understood. Well, circus, what circus? You know, my mom, she signed some papers that, okay, but I was still in Morocco. My dad the same. My dad, he never say no. That's it. I went with this circus and I smelled the circus. There was tigers, elephant, human, very good act, very, very good. And the Spanish guys, the circus, they liked me. We worked about 3 months in Morocco with that circus. And the circus went back to Spain. And then they kept in contact with me, with this promoter. And they said, we want that little boy. I said, oh, no problem. So he used to make like a 5 to 6 months visa contract. There was no visa then, just contract. 6 months contract, I have to go back home because I was underage.
Oh, right.
Yes. So they bring me home. I have no idea, no money. There was no money for me. I don't know how much he's given me, how much. There was nothing for me. The money was not the issue. I am performing in the circus. See people clapping. I don't care about nothing else. This is what I want. Day after day. So I went back to Spain. 3 months later, this guy came over and he talked to my mom. He said, this circus, they really want him. They have a lot of kids. It was true. They have a lot of kids in circus. That is the school. There is a teacher at the school. I couldn't go to learn. I was trying. How can I? And then suddenly I knew I'm not there. I'm not one of them.
Did you want to?
Yeah.
You wanted to?
Big time. Big time.
But you couldn't be with them because you hadn't been in school?
There was a racist issue there.
Oh.
So I started to understand, okay, they want my formula, but they don't want my chemistry. So I started to understand that. Okay, this is how it is. I was very angry. Why they have to do that? Look what I'm doing. Why they want me in some ways, they don't want me in some ways. So I started to read the letters and put the letters together, and I started to teach myself, which is this circus. They want me to do one thing, to practice just tumbling. I wasn't interested in that. I want to go beyond, not just tumbling. And I said to myself, no. You know my mother, you know my father. I know I'm not going to be with you. And I started to put things together. Everybody asleep, I used to have candles, go in the ring and practice handstand. Or what I'm watching, like a roller bowler, how to do that. I used to watch all the time. So some people sleep, I'm practicing. That's how it went for me. By 16, there was a contract. Again, Circus Mundial.
Oh.
Did a long time ago. What can I say, Josh? Huge circus, really huge. Oh, different kind of race. Spanish, Chinese, all over the world. A lot of languages inside. That's what fascinated me. And I started to, with the Spanish people, with the Mexicans, Colombians, they were the best. Nawaya, flying choppies, they were just crazy guys. And I fit in perfect.
Where is that circus?
In Spain.
In Spain.
Yeah. So I was there for a year with the troupe called Sherifian Troupe. They were very, very, very good tumblers, really good tumblers, better than me. They were already in Europe, all over the place in Europe. After I worked with Mondial, I seen all different acts, and I wanted to go further. And I started to understand what really a circus mean when I was younger, 14, 15. I just want to perform. So I worked in Spain, the season's finished perfectly, and I learned so much from it. And I want to experience different country, like France. I worked with Bouglion. Bouglion Circus, Zabata Circus. Bouglion, he was Joseph Bouglion. He was the grandfather. Big Texas hat, two bodyguards, big limousine. He was the sweetest guy that was.
Were you still doing your tumbling act, or were you doing other things by this point?
No, I was still with the troupe. Still with the troupe. I'm talking back in early 80s. 83, 84, 85, something like that. So we finished. We were waiting to go to Zapata Circus. Something went wrong with the contract or anything like that. And he said, oh, I can't give you a job. As we were in France, there were no visa there. Just go through, no problems. We had a big, huge truck and a caravan behind. And we were the bus driving and seven of us. Fit, you have to. There is no other ways. When you're with the troupe, it's different living, different kind of ways. So we went to the Zabata, he said, I can't give you a job for contract, fall through. And we went to Bouglio. As soon as we get there, he said, park over there. We parked over there. He said, come with me. He have huge kitchen. He goes to the chef, feed them wherever they want. I don't understand. Why does he say that? I want to know. That's my way of living. I choose I'm going to be in a circus. I want to know everything. We were doing an act. We still have to do stakes. Put the tent up. The mask, the big mask in the tent. The chair, the seat, bleachers, everything. I said to myself, why the other artists, they're not doing that? It's just the troupe. I said to my boss, why are we doing that and the others not? He wanted to tell me this is the way of life. We're from Africa or we're Moroccans. He said, it's good for you. It's okay. Let's hope one day you can only do your act instead of building up and down. I said, okay. But I wasn't convinced. I knew then what's going on.
Did you experience a lot of racism in circus when you were little?
Yes. A lot of it.
It's funny because to me, like, now circus feels so inclusive because you see all these different types of people. But it's interesting that you experienced so much of it when you were so little, too.
As I was a little, I couldn't do nothing.
Did you know what it was? Or were you just...
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew where I was. Like I said, I was a street boy. Streetwise boy.
What did you do to deal with it?
How I dealt with it, I need to do a good job in the ring. For me, as much as for public, I need to do a good tumbling. If I pay you, you need to do a good tumbler, good tumbling every day. This is the contract.
Were you getting paid the same amount as other performers?
No.
So you were doing labor and your act and getting paid less.
So then I started to, I used to pay them back in the ring. Mm-hmm. I have to do a good job clapping, and I want to go outside in the backstage. I need to see all those. They hate my guts. No, not to hate my guts. Just not to hate my guts. Why are you doing good? Why are you so good? How?
The other performers?
Yeah.
Were jealous that you were doing yes. so well?
I learned some of them jealous, some of them racist. Mm. There were not all of them racist. Jealous. You did good job. And then the season, the whole 9-month season finished. Then I went in Sweden with the troupe. It was back in 85. Benny Weiss Circus.
Oh, they're also still...
Still going, yeah. Still going. Still going. That was a very nice experience. We toured the Scandinavia. Beautiful. And then from there, and then 86, we finished with that, 86. Beginning, the end of 85, 86, we went to London, Gandhi Circus. So there's, then 86, I finished with different troupe, I went in different troupe. We went in Italy, we spent 6 months, Liane Orfei, one lady, she was an actress, and she just wanted a circus, just a tent. And these people was way, I can honestly say, there was no ordinary people. Like the Pope, he used to come over wherever he felt like he'd come over to see the show, the general, the all these kind of guys, all famous people, they used to come over. She wanted nothing but the best. Then it's like you put something in my brain, I want to see more. Right? So the act is just rock your brain. Such a dangerous act, is just like nothing to them.
Which act?
Human juggling, grizzly?
Oh, yeah. Foot juggling.
Foot juggling.
Yeah.
Human foot juggling. There were two brothers. One half German, the other one half France, half French. And there were, one of them was 42 years old, and his brother was 40.
Whoa.
It's crazy. I haven't seen since something like that. Not, absolutely nothing. Double coming down on one leg. And then triple coming down one leg and one leg. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's and they worked here a lot in New York. So these guys, we were there for 6 months. They hardly would ask. They're always doing TV, commercials. They never would ask. I said to myself, I need to get away from the troupe. I need to learn something from by myself, like hand balancing, straps or something. Clowning, I hated clowning.
Why do you hate it?
It wasn't physical for me. I said to myself, I'm too muscly to do a clowning. How can I?
You're not noodly enough to be a clown.
No, yeah. Juggling, I didn't like that much. But I have to learn juggling. I can do a few clubs, four balls. I thought, that's it. If I learn that, I don't want any juggling. So I started to, I seen some the best acts and fascinate me. I want to learn more. I want to go further. So after that, I finished the 6 months, we went to the circus called Cesare Toni in the Three Rings. We were there with this guy for a year and a half. He made a lot of places all southwest, went in Sicily, Palermo. Sicily, Palermo wasn't the greatest. You can see the kids, they're just lifting the whirlings and they just went in. You cannot tell them, hey, out. No, you don't do that. Let them. Otherwise, in the nighttime, the tent will be burnt. Like in the summer, we were down beside the seaside, like Rimini. Oh, that place is beautiful places. We used to do one show. It was so hot. People that won't come in the tent. We used to do a show probably starts midnight. And Italy, people, they don't sleep in the, when it's hot. That's just outside. And then we had all day practice, do whatever you want. For me, it was practice early in the morning before the sun's so strong. And then the rest of the time going to the beach and basically the tent here, the beach, about 2 minute walk. That's how I loved circus. You go into places nobody would go. So this circus, I was a lot of racist. Really a lot of racist. I seen how they dealt with the workers, really punched them. And if you're not quick enough, when the animal inside the ring, you know, the horse go in and starting pewing, the workers, they have to go fast. Can you imagine, you know, 12 or 14 horses going around? They're going to kill you inside. And the boss wanted to go faster just because he wanted to have a little fun, you know, trembling over you. And this guy, unmired him. He said, no, and this finish. When they finished the act and then he went outside and he said to him, why you didn't come quicker? He said, you didn't give me a time. As he said that back to him, and he started kicking him, and not in a nicer way, in his face. And that guy, he took the beating and he just went outside. As I was warming up, the whole troop warming up, we didn't like what we seen. And this guy was Asian. And I knew, it was already a month as we were working there. I grow up with manners. You have to say good morning, good afternoon, as my mom and dad brought me up. If we used to travel in a bus, if I'm sitting and a lady older than me is standing up, I'll have a little clip in my head. Get up and give that lady a seat. That's how I grew up. There was no good morning, no good afternoon. I didn't mind. I knew what's going on, what's happening. And we said to the boys, okay, no more good morning, no more good afternoon. Let's practice. We're here to do the work. Just remember what we're here for. And I was starting to respect ourselves. Distance. We do our job properly. No one would say, oh, you did no good today or something. A few months later, the boss came over to my boss. He said, oh, your boys, they're not respectful and this and that. He said, tell me why they're not respectful. He said, are they here for a job? What they do? Are they doing a good job? He said, oh, beautiful, wonderful. He said, what are you talking about? He said, they're not saying hello, they're not this, they're not that. He said, they tried. They done that. They done this, and then they realize to others what's going on. They know what's going on. So one way or another, if you don't want us here, we leave. And most of circus, the kids, they don't teach them. My dad already have a circus, and they're not motivating like we are. I want to learn this, I want to learn that. Some kids, they just don't want to. They don't want to learn. And the fathers know they don't want to teach them. I don't know why. I said, you're born in a circus, and you don't want to learn this, you don't want to do that. What do you want? Be easier for them to be with the lions or the tigers or elephant. That's easy, just a little whip and crack them. And I said to myself, always want to whip somebody. That's how my brain goes. In the end, they used to come over and knock on the door in the caravan. I said, Lam, die, Jukari, let's play football, please, let's. And my boss, he said, what the hell did you do to these guys? I said, they know I'm good, and they want me to play with them. I said, the table turned. I said, you just have to be patient. He said, well done, son, well done. He used to, and this guy, he spent all his life in circus. He was 7 years old from the Berber, right the other side of, almost in Sahara. He was a very good tumbler, and someone steal him, took him with them in a circus.
They stole him? Kidnapped him?
Yeah, kidnapped him.
Your boss?
Yeah.
What?
He was a very good tumbler. He was a father, not just a boss. He was a father, a boss, a friend. He was very nice.
So at what point in your career do you break out on your own and start working on your own material?
Oh, that's back in 1988. I was already with the troupe. But I gear up and practice. Especially, I worked with circus, in the circus, with the hand balancers. I used to get up with them early in the morning and go and practice. If my boss sometimes would see me, he goes, I don't want you to practice hand balancing. Practice tumbling. And I didn't understand why he was telling me that until later. And I said, you want me to be in trouble all the time? No, I want to go further. You know, when the circus and some coaches there, when they see you, you want to learn, but they have to see you day after day, every morning. Otherwise, you wasted that time. I was lucky to have these guys. But I have one coach, he was a very, very good. He was half Russian, half French. It's a crazy mix. He was very older. Like now, if you say, I need a website, then they will say, you are the website. You don't need a website. That's mean what you do, absolutely fantastic. When the promoter, when they see you performing, they come over and say, I need to book you in different circus. This is how much I need to give you. That was the website then. Here, anybody can promote themselves. Just take a picture, and everything. For me, everything changed where I see. There was no YouTube, there was no nothing. You have to work, choose, if not dangerous, act, but you need an act absolutely rock people's mind. If you can't do that, you have to do something really dangerous. You know, one slip, you're dead. You have to get the best big tent, big name to work for. That was a way of life.
But you did dangerous acts.
Yes.
What did you do?
I did Wheel of Death. I did Flying Trapeze. I did trapeze with my son's mom, Polly. Straps.
So at what point did you start coaching other people?
Honestly, probably I started in 1990. There was a case in the circus. I want to do that for kids. I stopped going in the nightclubs in 1991. I didn't like a way of life. It wasn't for me. As a kid, I was always doing something, always practicing. When the circus people used to go out, they say, oh, Salam, you're not going out. Can you look after my kid? I probably have 5 to 7 kids in my caravan, looking after them. I didn't mind. I love kids. So that kids, I used to take them in the ring. Then I was by myself then, because I used to do hand balancing and straps. That was not with the troupe. This 89, I started to work by myself. I had probably from here to the roof, it's about almost 3 meters high, the table and the ladder, and then it's like a half moon, and then the blocks here. We used to have blocks, 5 here and 5 here, and go one hand and drop them down. Sometimes I used to go up and drop them, come down, all in different way, one hand and come down.
That was your hand balancing act?
That was my hand balancing act.
Do you still feel any pain or residual physical effects from doing all of that?
My first time doing handstand and that high, I went from there to my table, my head and the table, and my head split. And I went up, the bleeding's dropping, I was ashamed. I have to go up and do it again, and I did it properly. And then the people that enjoyed what I, basically, they went up and clap.
Did you get stitches afterwards?
No.
You just bandaged it up and said, fuck it.
No, I used to do my own things as like a red pepper.
Red pepper?
Red pepper. I used to put a red pepper, stop the bleeding. And then after that, I used to put warm water, salt, and put it like that. And until, no problems. That's a way of circus.
Yeah. When do you end up coaching full-time as your career?
Coaching full-time. I coached in 2003. I went to Denmark to coach roller skating. Two brothers and one sister. The father, he passed away. The mother became really sick, drinking all the time. She said, please, can you go look after my kids? These kids, I teached them when they were younger. Then the older was 18. So I was driving a truck for them and teach them the same time. They were doing hand balancing together, but they want to do another act. One is not enough. You have to do two. And then when you do more than two acts, you have work wherever you go. So less money with the, you know, you, for example, three acts, you go, okay, $500 a week. You go, okay, if there is not enough people, but you're still doing three acts. I went in now and I spent the whole season in Denmark. And the season in Denmark, very short. You get colder so quick. So from March to August, you're done. There is no September, October. Too cold. So I come back and there was a circus school in Bristol, just three hours drive from London, southwest. So I was coaching there for about 7 months. And again, the way they were coaching, I didn't like the way they were coaching. I thought they were cheating the student. I didn't grow up like that. I didn't coach like that.
How were they, like, for someone who I've never been coached in circus, when you say they were cheating the students, what do you mean?
They're not showing them exactly what they want. So they have a lot of people. They did a physical theater. Oh, you do physical theater. This is good for your body, good for your mind, and you can do that. No. And then the students, some of them, they want to do a trapeze, and they were not going from beginning to the end. They will start from the middle up. So where's the foundation? The foundation, the mental with it to think about. Then when you go in a year, you know exactly where you are, where you're doing. And I left. I left and I said, I'm not going to do any more circus. I went to London to see a friend of mine called Basil. Basil, I worked with him many times. He was one of a coach. He was a ballerina. He did a wire, flying trapeze, a director, hand balancing, you name it, contortion, you name it, he knew it. This guy, gifted. He teached a lot of people in Cirque du Soleil. He's the first coach in Cirque du Soleil. Now all he's writing books, working in a bakery. He said to me, better than the circus. He says it's not the same anymore. He feel like ashamed where it's been, how it turned out to be.
He feels ashamed of how the circus is now?
Yes. For how people that could be. But it wasn't like that in the beginning, as we were talking all the way. And I said, and I used to go and talk to him. He's a brother friend. He's older than me. He's about 70 years old now. He's like a father to me. And I explained to him, I'm going to give up circus. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, I found a job. I'm going to drive semi. So I did. I had the big license. In a circus, you have to. If you have a big caravan, big truck, who's going to drive it for you? Yourself. Then those days, you give somebody's name, different name. When the police stop you, you give that name. Someone have a driver license from which day he born, which how old he, where he lives, and everything, and they let you go. In London, especially in London, everything computer. Where you say and comes up in the computer from your registration number from the car, from, you know, the vehicle. And I saved and I had my license, big license, and I started to drive. And I got to France and back to London, Scotland, France and Spain and Holland, and come back. I was my own boss. And I said, no, this is too lonely. I sleep in a truck every day, every night, for months and months. So I have my flat in London, but I'm not there all the time. And I said, no, this is no good. I give up that job and I moved away. My son moved away from London, far away from me, 3 hours or 4 hours. I said to myself, I need to be beside my son.
How old were you when you had your son?
Oh, probably it was 31, 32, something like that.
And how did you meet your son's mother?
I was working for her father.
Oh, a little romance. Was he like, get away from my daughter?
No, he wasn't like that. He was a different guy. Very strange, different kind of way. But I get to know him. I worked for him for about 19 years.
So did he run a circus?
Yes, he had many circuses in London. What I liked about him, he have all different kind of race in a circus. Black, white, Chinese, Russian, Hungarian. He liked that. He have older people and younger people. He used to give a chance to these guys and a chance to these guys. These guys, learn from these guys. Younger, older. So as I was still there and I found a job with Jerry Cook, which is my son's mom, her dad. He said, what do you do? I said, I do hand balancing, straps. I said, oh, do you have any video? I said, yeah. He said, you know, send it to me. I said, I don't have your journey. He said, oh, just put Jerry Cottle Circus and a postcard, not even a postcard. Jerry Cottle Circus, the town was Chertsey. And I send it, he get it. So one known who he is in the world. He was a very nice guy. He helped a lot of people if they had problems. If they come into the country and the immigration says, no, who you going to? He used to say, give them my name. He wasn't a circus, born in a circus, but his wife did. His wife is about 9th or 10th generation of circus.
So that makes your son like 11th or 12th, yeah. Right?
Yes, that's true,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did your son's mother do in the circus?
She used to do roller skating, clown swing, fabric, trapeze, straps. Yeah, she was working when she was 4 years old.
Wow.
What do you think makes a good coach and a good teacher in circus?
A good coach, you never say I'm a good coach. For me, from my experience, if I see a student, I know what I can do with him or do with her. I want to see if she is anemic, how tired she is. Does she have a problem in life? This is my experience. And we don't be just a coach. Give them a little bit more. You can say, that's okay. But when you're pushing them to do something, don't be nice to them. You push. But you be nice in different ways. For me, I learned to do that. I never had that.
Well, I think when you were coaching me at Smirkus, one of the, and it's sort of you're talking about a little bit that I thought was so great and still think was so great, was the combination of like emotional support you basically always had for me while simultaneously when we were actually practicing, being like, yeah, that's not good enough. You can do that better. You can constantly do that better. And whenever we weren't practicing, you were supporting me from whatever I was doing, if I was struggling on stage or if I had a sore or if I was talking about, you know, the drama I was having with a girl who I had a crush on, you know, like you were always there to listen. But then when we were practicing, it was like, you can do that better. You should be pointing your toes. You need to be stretching more. And it really instilled in me this sense of you can always do better and not to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think particularly if you want to do circus as a career, like you need to have that
you have
motivation.
To.
And there's, I think, only so much of it that you can teach.
That's true. So really, I was preparing you mentally and physically. Really, you're going to be tired one day. Your body's going to be tired. Small little breath you have left, that's the time when you're tired. You need to bring it out. For me, I don't see it just a student. I need to help them. I didn't have that when I was younger. Every country that I go to coach, I have to coach them exactly how, like in Morocco, there is no ouch. You do what I say, that's it. That's in old days. Now I can see if they're injured, how, where you're going to open your body, it became to know the experience where you went through, how your body hurting, where you can open the body to make them feel a little bit better. There was no doctors in the circus. There was no doctors.
No, but when we were doing it together, I just started to do a side flip, and I was doing it, I think, as like the opening tumbling pass in the Smirka show. Halfway through the summer, I was like, Salam, I have such an awful, awful pinch in my leg. I have no idea why. And you were like, yeah, stop doing the side flip. Just do front flips for the next couple of weeks. Like, that's just that. I know it's that. You know, like, I've had that pain before. I know exactly what that is.
See, the way that I seen you, I was coaching you, you were feeding me. I can see such a beautiful talent. You were feeding me, but you didn't know you were feeding me. If a student is not doing good, that's how some coaches, they go crazy. You're not feeding me, you're not doing good. Like when you're doing straps, I was marching every day. As you're doing a roll-up, it goes two more. You're doing eight roll-up and go one more. As you go in, see the connection? Because I can see the toes, your body, the arms, the shoulders, everything's so perfect. That's what I call a live art.
Do you find that the students who you're teaching want something different now that circus is changing and becoming, for lack of a better word, more contemporary, or people are trying to treat it less as just an entertainment and more as an art form? Are people asking you for different things than they were 10 years ago?
Yeah, now they're asking in different ways. I like to give 100% from me to the student. I coached some of them only 4 years ago. They are working one of the best countries in the world. Hand balances, contortion, straps. For them, each country they go to and send me a message. Thank you. Your voice is still in my head. I don't know why. Now I understand what you used to say to me. Now I understand. I'm glad he find his way. Now he knows who he is, what he's doing. Such a brother friend. We became friends. And I go time to time, how you doing? How you keeping? And one of them injured his shoulder. And he said, I couldn't answer you. I was in London. I was trying to go to see him in Germany. He didn't answer my message. And I knew something wrong. And then a couple of months later, he said, I'm so sorry, I was injured, I was ashamed. And I said, hey, we all get injured. You just have to take it and go through it.
What do you think circus teaches people, even if they don't pursue it as a career?
I'm not going to speak for others. My experience. If they don't have a confidence, build the confidence. They believe they can do a lot of stuff. Stronger and flexible. A lot of ways you can do a circus, a lot of ways. Even you don't, you know, not a career, but you will get your balance. Absolutely. No, there is no other ways. The flexibility, the lifting your body weight, there is all different things you can teach them. But now, I worked in some companies here in the US. A lot of people, they said, oh, Salam, what do you think of a temporary circus? They don't know who I am, what I think of temporary circus. Firstly, without a traditional circus, wouldn't be a temporary circus. I learned from temporary circus and tradition. For me, I put them together. I learned so much from temporary circus. And I put everything together. Like a circus, I used to, in the nighttime, I used to think of you guys. Like a beginning, how can I make you to avoid injuries? I never used to go to sleep, to think. That was my writing, that was my... The whole day, I put it here and I go home and twisting the ankle, there's pain here and there's pain here. Because that was in and out for 2 hours. It's not easy.
No.
I used to do 15-minute act, 10-minute act, 2 acts or 3 acts. But I know when to stop. I know when to warm up. But you guys, you go in and out. You stop and then you get cold. And you go in, you have to warm up. That was a big risk. The difference.
But it's funny, right? Like if you start in a place where you're learning on the streets, in your backyard, on a beach, when you then go to like a sprung floor, everything becomes easier as opposed to the opposite, where I remember coming to Smirkus and all you have is like those thin 2-inch mats, and dudes would be like, oh, this really hurts my wrists. Like, I'm used to hitting the ground so hard because I'm used to springs. Yeah. And you're like, Josh, there are no sprung floors in any circuses anywhere. Like, you're done with that. You're not going to find that anywhere besides a training gym. That's and true. I was like, oh, no, you're right. I got to figure out how to, like, you know, take less impact on my body.
Well, I think afterward you're used to them and you find your technique. And look how the layout, how high used to, if you remember, used to say, be like an eagle in the air. And you're coming down with beautiful layout, chest up, head up. You wait for down and you turn straight away. You took your coat, if you remember that.
Yeah, vaguely. So what's next for you in the next couple of months? Are you going anywhere to teach? Are you traveling?
At the moment, I'm teaching in a... I live in Maine. I teach there.
At the Portland Circus School in Maine?
No, I'm not there anymore. There's a friend of mine, he have a beautiful studio. He teach Tai Chi. I have a few students that travel from Vermont to me. They stayed with me. I coach them. They go home. And I go to Boston to coach. And I'm trying to open something my own. Something that I want all my life. Well, since I've been coaching. The technique is going, like you said, the circus, the way of circus is not taught properly. The stories, it's not there anymore. I think the circus a little, for me, was a poor people's circus. That's what they want to do. They're so poor, but they can do so many things. For me, circus for everybody. But you've got to respect it, to learn where that come from, what people they went through, you know, a love of the circus. We can be here forever talking about circus.
Yeah, that's the idea. But I think that's a great place to leave it, at least for the podcast. We can keep chatting.
Do you see our bookshelf? Look at all that.
Wow.
Josh, I've never met someone who's so passionate about a very specific art form. And I think that's like what inspired me to learn about circus. And for the past like 3 years, Josh brings me to everything that we can see. And just like the passion and the interest and the knowledge that Josh has and like wants to keep learning is inspiring to me. And I think it started though from like being a part of Smirkus and like training and like, I know you were a big influence on his life, and you were one of the first people he wanted to interview. And thank you. It's really...
It's an honor.
It's really wonderful for me to hear all this. And I mean, I'm so inspired by you.
But I think even though it's less common slum, I think people want it. Like, I just think it's hard to find. I think if you go and you train and you're 13 or 14 and you go do fabric at your local gymnasium and you're like, I love this thing... There's not a lot of information about like where this all came from and how to do it, and
that's true.
The access to it is just not there. But hopefully, people will listen to the podcast, listen to your story, and other people's stories, and sort of get a sense of like the greater circus world and history, well, and their place in it.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, a circus for everybody. Circus for everybody, right? Respect it, and if you're going to pass your knowledge. Pass it properly, you know, for others to learn. Personally, for me, always a student before bosses. I always go with the students, and I always have a... I promise myself I will never change what I believe, what I've seen. Because when I coach, I'm with you. Show me what you got, I will show you what I got. Doesn't matter what. And that's why probably I want to do something my own.
Last question. What does your name mean?
My name means peace.
So we
thought. Salam al-Wahhabi.
It's a beautiful name.
Thank you. And my son, his name, Salam too. I think just...
Yeah, you knew that.
But his nickname, Whistle. He's a... grandmother, he was so little and so wrinkly, about this big and so lots of skin. And she tried to call him Tweety, that little...
Tweety bird?
Yeah. Oh. I said, no, you're not going to call my son like that. No way. She said, what about Whistle? I said, oh. She always have a good nickname for her grandkids.
Whistle is a great nickname.
Whistle is.
He'll like it.
Yeah.
How old is he now?
He's 17 now, 18 would be in August. He's working for his granddad in London. He's doing four acts in and out. He loves circus. He really loves circus. He became a circus boy. He swing a hammer because he knows he used to swing two hammers when he was here. People, they told him, he said, your dad, he was a hard man. The last time I saw him, he was skin coming off from his hand. He was still, you know, doing good. So I think he's happy. He's happy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Salam.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to our interview with Salam. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding more about Salam, please visit his website at thesimplecircus.com.
If you enjoyed our show, make sure to follow us on Facebook and share our podcasts. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and tweet us and Instagram us and subscribe on iTunes.
Have a great week.
Bye.